It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, November 19th. I'm Patricia Naft. On Wednesday, Governor John Hickenlooper defended his position on Colorado's willingness to accept Syrian refugees. He also says states don't have the constitutional right to block refugees who are in the country legally from entering their borders. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Some Republicans in Congress want to hit the pause button and are asking for stiffer vetting in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris. Hickenlooper says he supports President Barack Obama and is confident the program will continue to be stringent.
This is the most rigorous, detail-driven process for resettlement anywhere in the world right now for refugees from the Middle East. And were we to turn our backs on them, I think there's a valid question of what long-term damage that would do.
Obama says the U.S. will accept 10,000 Syrian refugees in the next year. Hickenlooper says most are women, children, and the elderly. The vetting process takes roughly 2 years. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Delta County Library Board of Trustees held an open meeting on Wednesday to talk about Annette Chozick. She was the director for the library district, but quit last week after being put on paid administrative leave. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Just outside a crowded meeting room in the Paonia Public Library, people stand near the doorway, craning their necks to hear the explanation. They're here to find out why Annette Chozick, the Delta County Library district director, was put on paid administrative leave. Chozick had been in the position since 2007, but recently handed in her letter of resignation. This is the Board of Trustees President Laura Early.
It came to the board's attention in late August that there were quite a few people who were concerned about some management problems with the library. The vice president and I got together and decided that we needed to determine if maybe you just have a disgruntled employee or two, or if we really had some problems. And after talking with some people, we decided that we actually needed to bring some experts in.
They brought in Mountain State's Employer Council, a company the library district uses for human resources.
After that report was given to the library, every member got a copy of it, and we got together in special session. And at that time, it was decided to place Annette Chozick, who is the district director of the library, was the district director of the library, on administrative leave. Subsequently, Ms. Chozick submitted her letter of resignation on November 11th.
Citing personnel reasons, Early wouldn't talk about the specifics of the HR report. During the meeting, though, the board members mentioned problems with communication and with budgets. Early talked about how previously the two regional managers, who combined cost the district around $100,000 a year, had no control over their own budget.
And they couldn't even have a budget to run their programs. They had to ask for money to buy pumpkins. I mean, I'm sorry. If they're managers, let them manage. It's what we pay them for.
John Gavin, the district's IT director, also resigned after the board's decision. After the crowd left the board meeting, the rest of the time was spent figuring out how to replace Gavin and Chozick. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A Norwood woman was seriously injured in a backcountry snowmobile accident Tuesday. The San Miguel County Sheriff's Office says the 64-year-old woman came to a sudden stop on her snowmobile after hitting a ditch. She was ejected and sustained serious blunt force trauma when she slammed into the vehicle's handlebars, according to officials. Her husband, who was on a second snowmobile, drove an estimated 8 miles to find help. The sheriff's office says multiple obstacles, including lack of communication, location difficulties, deep snow, and weather issues, complicated the rescue efforts. Deputy Chris White responded to the accident.
We called for helicopters to see who we could get for a care flight or for a medical flight, either to Montrose or Grand Junction. And they were socked in with weather and couldn't fly. So we were able to contact Durango. They were able to fly. They had clear skies and an open window.
White says the woman was airlifted to Mercy Hospital in Durango for treatment. The Bureau of Land Management has released a draft environmental impact statement for 65 oil and gas leases in the White River National Forest. The area includes Thompson Divide. The draft EIS lists five alternatives for the leases. One of the alternatives calls for canceling all of them. Another option lists canceling all or part of 25 leases in the area. Pete Hart is a staff attorney with Carbondale-based Wilderness Workshop. He says when the BLM issued the leases, the agency failed to conduct an environmental analysis, offer protections for roadless areas, and consult the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
We've been pushing the BLM to undertake this analysis for a long, long time. You know, we're very happy that the agency has initiated review and has released, you know, its first draft of its environmental analysis. And I'd say we're even happier that that the agency is considering canceling leases in that analysis.
People have until January 8th to comment on the draft EIS. Additionally, this week, the BLM has released a draft supplemental environmental impact statement for the Rhone Plateau. In the document, the agency recommends canceling 17 oil and gas leases issued for the plateau in 2008. The recommendation comes nearly a year after a settlement between the BLM, environmentalists, and oil and gas operators. Hart says the Wilderness Workshop is one of 10 groups that sued to block drilling on the plateau.
It's great to see BLM proposing that as kind of the direction that they'd like to head in this supplemental. I think that it would protect 90% of the top of the plateau, and it would impose, you know, meaningful protections on the resources around the plateau that we've been concerned about, you know, since this planning process began well over 10 years ago.
The public has until February 16th to comment on the draft. The Delta Montrose Electric Association hosted an energy efficiency forum in Hotchkiss Tuesday night. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
About 45 people attended the forum at Hotchkiss Memorial Hall. DMEA set up informational tables about energy efficiency programs the co-op offers.
So if any of our members are having trouble paying their bill, we have options where they can go. We have Energy Outreach of Colorado. We have certain churches that will give money to help people out.
There was even an interactive display where people rode a stationary bike to see how much energy it took to light an incandescent bulb versus an LED light.
Yeah, that's nice and bright. I thought it would be. Two of them. Not quite so bright as they were. Now let me switch to LED. Bright as a dickens.
DMEA CEO Jason Bronick says the cooperative has a new program called My Choice. It allows consumers to prepay on their power bill.
It allows them to not be subjected to any delinquency fees or disconnect fees, and they're kind of control their own energy destiny. And it's been proven that through My Choice that members can save up to 10% on their electric bill by just changing their habits on how they use electricity.
Bronick says the DMEA board also recently approved a new project.
The Clean Energy Collective is a program that will allow income-qualified members to receive power from a subsidized solar system. So any member that needs help or is an income-qualified will be able to purchase energy from this solar system to help reduce their energy bill.
DMEA hosted a similar meeting in Orchard City on Monday night, and Bronick says future outreach forums are in the works. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.